with the Sinaitic Web, we're looking at all the languages from the basic philosophical and data and logical structure of this. And meanwhile, people are trying to do human interfaces for browsing for huge amounts of data.
Yes.
So you can run through your, so when you've got a question of what was that check, you know, you can run through and find all the photographs you took that day, for example, mm-hmm. which is fantastic, to figure out what you're doing, and that will tell you probably what you spent it. So, meanwhile, but now when it's the question of managing data and actually doing things with it, which affect you, like for example, entering the taxes, we're not there yet. It was very nice to be able to enter on the website, but the problem with the web form is that your browser, when you press submit, it's gone. They may send you an email back,
mm-hmm.
but the funny thing is, we've got an architectural, we're getting into a rat hole of a web architectural problem, but it's an example of, if you like, how technical architecture and social architecture connect very closely. When you send a message, it's a social commitment. You say, okay, I'll meet you at 10.
Right.
You send an email, if you're not going to meet the guy at 10, you send another message and say, oh, can we make it 11? If you send, you can buy things by sending a message. If you, as you edit a web page, when you hit save, if it's going out to be published, then to a certain extent it's a commitment. But when you're saving a file locally, that's not really, it's something you can change later. When you're browsing, when you're following links, you're not making a commitment to tool, you're just leafing through things.
Right.
So the browser is in fact doing something completely different. It's saying, get page,
right.
to the all these other to the web servers. And when you press a submit, when you make a bind transfer, you press a button which says, I'm posting this form.
Mm-hmm.
Now a few sites get this wrong. So that you actually go through the website by pressing post buttons, and the your browser doesn't know you're not making a commitment. But when you make a commitment, when you actually are submitting a form, that is just like sending an email. You should keep a record of everything you've submitted,
right.
Which form it was that you filled in, what it looked like at the time when you filled it in, the data you sent in, and where it was sent to, because it's sent with a particular set of parameter names and it's taken as being represented for a certain commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to be able to demonstrate to yourself that you actually did pay your tax, fill in the tax form, for example. It'd be nice if it was saved like an email message. You notice that when you save an email message, your email client keeps the date. It doesn't allow you to edit the date anymore.
Right.
It doesn't allow you to edit the email message at all.
Exactly.
If you could take a copy of it, but the email message you sent, they are read-only, buddy.
Now, you're great.
Right. Now, that maintains the integrity of the system. It means that a message sent is a message sent, and the software means that because of the way the software works, nobody can edit them.
Mm-hmm.
So that this integrity is a fundamental sort of rock on which all our email communication is based.
Yes.
Yes, you could write an email client which allows you to edit the sent messages or even the received messages to make it look as if somebody said something else. Okay, it would be technically possible. We trust people not to do it. It'd be stupid, because anybody who does that loses all their credibility and the system falls apart.
Right.
So that's an example of how the technology has been allows you to do the right thing. That's the way, and this is normally a good, is what should happen with buying music over there. And there's a bug in it, that when you press the web form, you didn't have that information, so you fill in a huge amount of information about yourself, which was actually totally reusable.
Right.
In fact, it had very well-defined semantics. It was,
yes.
Most of the lines on the tax form correspond exactly to lines on the federal form, which you have to fill in a totally different way.
Yes.
So the semantic web is partly of attaching semantics to that stuff, keeping awareness, and one of the interesting things is how to connect the loop to the person.
Mm-hmm.
So really, what would be interesting to have a machine which says, I've got to fill out this form, I need some information, most of it I can handle, but I need your social security number, and I need to know what on earth is about this one.
Right.
And all the rest is like rules which have come from different places and data which has come from different places. The data is reused much more, much more fully, and in return, you as a person can't find out what happened to the information. Or you're in charge. You're in charge of where it's reused. Yeah, getting started on the semantic web now, but I'm not trying.